Now, it may not be well with some of our circumstances. I know that this coronavirus has kind of changed everything for us. It's altered our services. Here we are on Sunday night, and I'm looking out, and nobody's here except a few of us as we're doing this broadcast. And that's a little abnormal for us. We really don't like it, but I'm glad, even though our circumstances are changing, I'm glad I can say it again, it's well with my soul. You say, why is it well? Because I want you to know, January 31st, 1973, the high sheriff of heaven came and convicted me of my sin on that Wednesday night at First Baptist Church at Pinch. And I got saved by the grace of God. And when I got saved, I got saved. I got washed in the blood, sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, set in a new direction. My whole life change. I want you to know it is well. It may be a little tough right now. It may be a little hard right now, but I want you to know, I just want to walk down here. I haven't walked down here for a while, and if Denny McGrew was right there, I'd just smack him on the head. I want you to know, it is well. Is it well with you? You might say, Preacher Smith, I'm unemployed right now. Well, I never see the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging praying. And I want to show you this. My God shall supply all your need. You will get to the other side. You will make it. We'll get through this time of uncertainty. I've got a God that has shined on me, and it is well. Hallelujah. I just wanted to kind of walk down in the auditorium, kind of looking at some of y'all. I see you over there, Anthony Smith, where you sit. Kim Whittington, you're not right here in that seat, but I know you're just as ugly as you always been. And it's just good to look out and just imagine you folks. And it won't be very long. And we're going to be back here. And we're going to be thrilled and serving God and enjoying each other's company. But right now, we're live streaming, and we're preaching the Word of God through technology. And if you have your Bibles, I want to get into the preaching. Psalm chapter number 11, if you got your Bibles. I'm going to read all 7 verses. We had a great service this morning, great Sunday school hour. Things went so well. And I'm looking for God to move in your life right now. I'm preaching another timely type of message for the times that we're in. As Esther said, for such a time as this. These are dark days, disappointing days, down days. But I'm glad we can delight in the Word of God. For the word of God endured forever. Forever is thy word settled in heaven. I'm thankful for the good word of God. And as we look at Psalm 11, you follow me as we read the word of God. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now notice this large statement by David. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord loveth the righteous. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's pray. Our Father, I ask you right now for my church family. Keep them safe. God, secure them in your love. Show them that you've got this all under control. Lord, for our seniors, I want to pray for them. They tell us that they are the most vulnerable right now. And I pray you'll put a hedge of protection around them. For our young people, I pray that while they have this idle time, they'll spend it in the Word of God. They'll be productive. And then many of us are out of our routine. I pray, God, you'll help us just stay focused upon you. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to give you a background of this text. This is Brother David going through another trial in his life. Absolutely, at this time, he is being challenged by the authority of that day, and that was Saul. David was summoned by Saul because Saul, the Bible said, had an evil spirit. And David was summoned the first time by Saul to come and play his harp that he might be soothed during his turmoil and his trouble. So between chapter 2 and chapter 11, this occurred. And then now in chapter 11, the one that was being soothed by David was angry. And instead of David playing his harp, Saul was throwing a javelin at him, trying to kill him. Saul became against him. David ascended to the throne because of Saul's failure. See, it's a bad thing when someone has to replace you for your failure. I want to say to every one of us, let's not fail right now. I know it's troublesome. I know we're in the midst of our life has been turned upside down. But you don't want to fail God. You don't want your faith to fail. You don't want your fervency for God to fail. You don't want to fail in doing what's right now, because I want you to know something. If we fail God, God will raise up a David and replace us. God help us. In this passage of scripture, the threat is Saul. And David said, I know that God called me. And God anointed him king before he ever became king. Samuel came down to the house of Jesse because of Saul's failure. And all Jesse's sons passed by. And Samuel said, you got anybody else? He said, yeah, I got a little redhead runny boy. And he said, fetch him. When he came to the house, he was anointed king. He had become king right away. And that became a threat to Saul. And Saul hated him. And I want you to know, we're living in an anti-God world, an anti-Christ world. This world is not for Christians. This world is not for Christ. But I want you to know, amidst all the struggle, there's one that has everything under control and has your life under control. David's forced to make a decision. Verse number 3. He makes a statement. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Here's his decision. Am I going to stand on God's word? Am I going to stand on a firm foundation while things are crumbling around me? Or am I going to go another direction? Ladies and gentlemen, I know things seem to not be going our way right now. But we don't need to go another direction. We need to stay for God. When he talks about foundation, I'm interested in that. It's talking about a moral support. See, it doesn't matter how great your house looks. If it's not built on a foundation that is secure, it will fall when the storms come. And a storm has come in David's life. And he was tempted to abandon the truth and to get away from God. But I'm glad that he stayed for God. And I want you to know something. I am established on things that cannot be destroyed. My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and his righteousness. I'm going on for God. Church, it may seem dark for us, so unusual, as we're in this auditorium by ourselves. And it may seem dark, but you keep going on for God. You keep being faithful and listen to these broadcasts. You keep being faithful in paying your tithe. You keep being faithful in loving God. You keep being faithful in praying and reading the Bible. Amen. I've got a moral foundation. My hope's not built on what's going on at the White House today. My hope's not built on the legislators, the House and the Senate. Now they're passing a bunch of junk that is ignorant. No, I'm talking about a real moral foundation. I'm not talking about a trend. Oh, by the way, I'm talking about truth. You know what's so sad today in our churches? There's a whole bunch of people. They're resting on trends. You know, we got a contemporary music trend right now. Come on now, help me preach. Ain't no time to bow your head right now. But we're going to stay with the truth. All the trend is, let's change our Bible and get some other kind of Bible. I'm staying with the old King James Bible. I'm staying with the truth. It's not fab, but it's faith. It's not good, it's grace. It's not a habit, it's holiness. It's not religion, it's righteousness. That's the moral foundation I'm talking about. I want you to know what David was saying. He's saying, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving out. And I'm not giving in. And I want you to know, you're looking at a big old Baptist preacher that made my mind up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up what I am. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, shingle-rattling, hellfire, and brimstone Baptist preacher, and I'm not giving that up. And I'm not giving out. Hey, listen to me. This old man's still got some strength in him. This old man's not giving out. And I want you to know I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in to the popularity of this day. I'm not giving in to the trends of this day. I'm staying for God. I'm resting my life on God's foundation. Hallelujah. Now let's examine our text. Whoo! I sent some preached today. Though everything's crumbling, our country's crumbling, our communities are crumbling, our churches are crumbling. But I'm glad that the gospel is still the power of God. Let's look at four things from this passage of scripture, and we'll be on our way. First of all, look at verse number one. I notice the absoluteness of his confidence. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. Hallelujah. That's pretty absolute. He said, I'm not going to change my colors. I'm staying with God. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a high tower. I want you to know the name of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, church family, it's a high tower. You're struggling right now. You're depressed right now. Just call out to his name. Just lift up his name. Just praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you where David's confidence was. First of all, in the person of God. He said, the Lord. I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh, the one that'll provide. I'm talking about El Shaddai. I'm talking about Jehovah Nissa. The Lord is our banner. I'm talking about his sovereignty. I'm talking about his wonderful majesty. I'm talking about his marvelous ways. The Lord! Then he said, not only do I see the person, but he said, I see the placement. Put I. Oh, all right. There's some of you right now, you're placing your faith in everything except God. You tell me, well, what's the government going to do for me? What's the government going to do for me? Well, who's going to do this? And what handout am I going to get? And you're trying to put your confidence everywhere. I want you to know we need to place our confidence in someone that is tried and true. Put I. You put I. You. Me. Pastor Jared. Pastor Chad. Pastor Tyler. Pastor Grant. Put I. We put our trust in God. And some of you need to make up your mind. And some of you need to say, I'm trusting God. I'm going to place myself in the hands of God. Woo! Then notice the person, the Lord, the placement, put I. Not in the Democrats, not in the Republicans. No, my God. Then the possession, my trust. Four times in the Bible, it talks about placing our faith. Well, many times in the Bible. But four times it specifically says, the just shall live by faith. It's a New Testament concept, an Old Testament concept, and it's a present day concept that we trust God. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. You've got to trust him during this time. Amen. Number two, I want you to notice the advice from his companions. David had some companions. Look what they told him. He said, how say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. Here's the counsel we got. Run, David, run. You know what some of you are trying to do? You're trying to run from God. You know what puzzles me? When people go through trouble, instead of running to church, they run away from church. And instead of running to God, they run away from God. The counsel they gave David was, run. I thought I'd just say this. Be careful to whom you're listening to right now. Don't listen to people that's not right with God. Don't listen to some lost person give you guidance. Some backslider who's living a wicked life outside of God. Now you put your faith in God and in God's real people. I'll tell you what I ain't going to do. I'm not going to go to a non-tither and ask him what I ought to do about tithing. I'm not going to go to somebody that don't go to church and ask him what to do about church attendance. Hello? I'm not going to go to somebody that doesn't read your Bible and ask him about Bible study. Dear Lord, there's some of you right now, you're going to the wrong people to try to get comfort right now. I tell you where our comfort comes. It comes from the Word of God. The foundation of the Christian is God's Word, God's final authority. Well, hallelujah. Then secondly, I see a cause to resent. He said, how say you? Well, what are you talking about? You're telling me to quit praying when the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You're telling me to quit living for God when God's my only hope. How say ye? You're telling me not to be faithful when God's been so faithful to me? How say ye? A lot of people said, well, I'm into Jesus. Well, that's not me. Jesus is in me. Whoop! Hallelujah! Thank God he's in me and living inside me. And number three, I want you to notice in verse number two, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrows upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Number one, they got weapons. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. You know, there's people shooting at us right now. The liberals are shooting at us. The loose livers are shooting at us. All people that have no faith are shooting at us. You know, we had last Wednesday a day of prayer for West Virginia. And it was a great day. I was glad I was able to participate on behalf of the church and on behalf of Christ and at the request of our governor. But do you know, while we were praying, and they were praying on the YouTube, as people making comments, hateful comments about God, hateful comments about prayer, hateful comments about the way that we're living. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen, despite the hateful comments, our foundation has to be on Jesus Christ. And not only their weapons, their ways, they do it privily. They're sneaky. Hey, by the way, the enemies of God are real sneaky. You know why there's a lot of churches that have went to liberalism and contemporary movement? Because the devil has snuck into their church and they placed a person here and a person there, and they got in places of influence, and it was sneaky. I want you to know something. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to protect what we got. We need to stand for God. Lastly, hallelujah. Woo! In verse number 4, and I'll close, I want you to notice this. The actuality of David's conviction. Notice what he says. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I want you to know what David saw. First of all, he saw God's position. The Lord is in his holy temple. I want you to know he sets up on high and he looks down here low. I got a God who has not changed his position. He's still high. He's still lofty. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Thank God, I'm trusting in that kind of God. And then his power. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The word throne means power, authority. He's got power to wipe out this coronavirus. He got power to protect you during this time from getting the coronavirus. He's got power to deliver you even in these difficult economic times and help you get through it and enjoy him as you go. He's all powerful. And notice this perception. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyelids behold. His eyelids try the children of men. Boys, I taught my staff, God knows what's going on. You know, he's got full perception of this big problem that we're in. He knows about your marriage that is in shambles. He knows about your job situation. He knows about your wayward children. He knows all that. He knows if we're doing right or doing wrong. Thank God for his perception. David said, I believe, I know that God's looking down at me. Hallelujah. He knows what's going on, church. He knows the struggles you're having. He knows your hardships, but he loves you. Then notice, hallelujah. Notice the word of God and his procedure. It said, well, glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Then verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Oh, thank God that he trieth. That's his procedure. He tests us. You know what this is right now? I'm looking over at Pastor Green. Pastor Green, this is just a test. Hey, Pastor Chad, up there in the loft, this is just a test. God's just testing us. He said if we're going to be true. See, if the foundations be destroyed, words are righteous. He's going to watch and see if we're going to stand on his truth or not. Then notice, in verse 6, his punishment. Oh, yeah, the wicked's having their day. Yes, the wicked are acting like they always do, like fools. But look what the Bible said. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. God's going to punish the wickedness. He's going to judge. And I want you to know something. You need to get right with God, because you don't want to be a part of God's judgment on you. You don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want your life messed up on drugs and porno and all that junk. You need to stay for God. Then I see his pureness. Also in verse 6. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup for the Lord. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his pureness. God loves righteousness. He loves people that just does right. I'm looking back in the auditorium, and there's a man who just went home with the Lord in the last couple of years. I'm kind of looking back to where he sat. Brother George O'Brien, he was my friend. You know what George O'Brien's favorite statement was? You know what George O'Brien always said? He said, do right! Do right! By the way, we need to keep doing right. Then notice the people. For the Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. What he's saying is, if you're living right and you're on his foundation, he's smiling at the just. He's destroying the wicked, but he's smiling on us. He's shining on us. Hey, church, right now is a time for God to see your uprightness. Is he going to shine on you? Are you going to be faithful to listen to these broadcasts? Are you going to be faithful in your giving? Are you going to be faithful in doing the right thing during these times? Are you? If you do, God's going to smile on you. God's going to shine on you. If the foundations be destroyed, where will the righteous be? I want to ask you, have you placed your faith in Christ? Do you know Christ as Savior? If not, you can right now. You can get on that foundation. You got to realize you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got to realize that God loves you. God commendeth his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You ought to realize that you can be saved right now, because the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christian, where are you resting your help? Where are you resting for help, for hope? Are you on God's foundation? Because see, if the foundations be destroyed, where will you be? We're hopeless without God. I want to pray for the church, and I want to pray for you right now and our families, our Father. I want to pray for that lost person that was listening. But I want to pray for our church. These are trying times. I know the people want to be here, and I want them here. And it's hard to be separated from each other. We need each other. But God, I want to pray for every facet of our church, every age group of our church, that you'll touch and comfort and strengthen in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.